or tall as Jesse Lusko, so I'm therefore not Jesse Lusko. My name is Shay. I am actually a intern pastor, just like your famous Jared Grebe here at Calvary. I am the official youth pastor in Santa Fe. Everybody know where Santa Fe is? Woo! Give it up for Santa Fe. We have a satellite campus there, and we just started our student ministry this Thursday, and so that's what I'm doing. But I have been in student ministry for a long time, so I'm there with y'all. But to get you guys excited, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of my past and something that I did that my youth pastor showed me that just got me really cool. So everybody's got to stand up. You guys can put your Bibles and notes down for a second. And you guys, this is called Brown Squirrel, okay? No, you guys need to get really excited because this is going to get you. Yeah. Get excited for Brown Squirrel. All right. So this is Brown Squirrel, okay? So everybody's got to get like this. And we're going to be Brown Squirrel. This is a song not a lot of people know about, okay? So you're going to follow me. You're going to go, brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. Wrinkle up your little nose, drop it down between your tones. Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. You guys think you can do that? Are you guys excited about Brown Squirrel? All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off slow. We're going to go really fast. It's going to be a lot of fun. So are you guys in for it? All right, here we go. Follow me. Ready? Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. Wrinkle up your little nose, drop it down between your toes. Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. Think we can go faster?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. Wrinkle up your little nose, drop it down between your toes. Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. Think we go faster?
Yeah.
My wife says you're an idiot, but that's okay. We're having fun, right? All right. We're going to go a little bit faster. Ready? Here we go. Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. Wrinkle up your little nose, drop it down between your toes. Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. We're going to go really, 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 really fast. Okay, you ready? Brown squirrel, shake your bushy tail. 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 All right, woo! So now, anytime you guys want to, you're allowed to do Brown Squirrel with your friends or whoever. So I have taken Brown Squirrel and passed it on to you. And if you guys ever really, really want to do it, just go up to Jared and go, Jared, we want to do Brown Squirrel. And Jared will lead Brown Squirrel, okay?
No?
All right. Cool. Thank you guys for doing that. That was fun. I was just to get you guys a little excited because I'm excited to be here with you guys tonight. And what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to pull out your Bibles and go, I got my Bible. That wasn't very good. You got to hold it up and go, I got my Bible. All right, sweet. I want you guys to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 9. And we're going to go through verses 1 through 33. But before we get there, I kind of want to know, how many of you guys have a favorite superhero?
Woo!
All right, I do too. What's your name?
Sailor.
How do you say it?
Sailor?
Okay. What's your favorite superhero?
Batman.
Sweet. I love Bruce Wayne. I love Batman. All right, sweet. Does anybody else have a favorite superhero? What's your name?
Brooklyn,
I like that name. What's your favorite superhero?
Captain America.
All right, sweet. So we got yeah, give it up for Captain America. All right. Yes.
Iron Man.
All right.
Spider-Man.
Cool. Yes, we got to go for the Superwoman. She's awesome. Okay, cool. And what I'm kind of talking about, and just kind of bring this in, so these superheroes, what we notice is, especially with Bruce Wayne, he turns into Batman. You know, Bruce Wayne, he's just this nice millionaire guy. But when he turns into Batman, you can tell there's a difference. You know, he's out there fighting the Joker, fighting Bane, fighting all these guys. And you can tell there's a huge difference between Bruce Wayne and Batman. The same thing with Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Everybody knows with Peter Parker, before he was bit, yeah, give it up for Peter Parker. Before he was bit by this radioactive spider, he was just a normal guy. Well, not too normal. He was weak, puny. But then he turned into this awesome, awesome superhero. And with Iron Man, he was just rich and could make his own thing. And so he turned into a superhero. But it was cool to see that even with Iron Man, something changed in his life where he felt the need to become a superhero. And so the title of the passage tonight, as you guys can see, is Reflections of an Ex-Blind Man. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. And just to kind of break into this and kind of give you guys some just a good example of what we're going to be looking at tonight is someone's life changing. Someone who was once blind, then saw through a dramatic experience, which we'll read about later, and his life was changed. And for me, when I was in high school, my life changed. And even when I was in middle school, you guys, I've been going to Calvary probably since I was younger than y'all, and I accept the Lord at a very young age. But I was, right? Well, we weren't in this room when I was in middle school. We were in the main building when I was in middle school. So I was sitting right where you guys were at. I accepted Jesus Christ at a very young age. And I went on mission trips when I was in seventh grade. I did all these things. And a lot of it was just me saying things and doing things like that. But there was no practice to what I was preaching. So when I got into high school, I was doing okay. I was doing all right. And I moved to Florida when I was about 16 years old. And I completely walked away from God. And I began to start drinking alcohol and doing drugs and going apart from what the Lord had given. And then one time my friend invited me to a youth group just like this. And I turned my life around for God. And I got called to student ministry. I got involved with my student ministry. You see, students, before that point, there was kind of a dramatic change, but nothing really happened. See, when I got into high school and I got into my senior year and I accepted Christ again, I rededicated my life, something happened. There was a change in me. Now, I was still immature and kind of funny. You can ask my wife. That's my wife over there, y'all, Christy. We're just only almost a month. Not the old lady, that's my grandmother, and the one next to her. That's my wife. And there began to be a change in my life. I really began to serve the Lord and do things for Him and got called to student ministry and did an internship. You see, students, God got a hold of my life. And just to give you guys kind of another example that just recently just... while I was doing this study, I really thought of one person, and that is your guys' great leader, Jared, back there. Yeah. You see, guys, we went to high school together in La Cueva. Me and Jared went to high school together. We were kind of friends. We were acquaintances. And when I left, I didn't see Jared until I came back and started going to the school of ministry in Albuquerque. And I walk up to the school of ministry, and I'm just being introduced to everybody. And then all of a sudden I turn around and I see Jared Grebe. I'm like, what are you doing here, bro? Because let me tell you guys something. When I was in high school, I didn't know Jared had a relationship with Jesus Christ at all. And so when I saw him at school of ministry, I was like, what is that kid doing here? But then as we began to go through school of ministry, I saw God had impacted his heart so much. And so for me, that was personally able to see that God can captivate people's hearts. He can change something and make it into something awesome. Because that guy back there, y'all, and you guys are so lucky, has a heart for you guys. He has a heart for middle schoolers. And so to see God be able to take that and what Jared was and turn to who he is, it's nothing that Jared has done. But it's what God is doing in his life. And to hear Jared, how stoked he was to get this job and to be ministering to you guys, is so cool. And like I said, because I've seen God do that in Jared's life, it's possible for all of us. And in my life. So that's just kind of an introduction. I just want to get us really stoked. And so my point for tonight, just to kind of be the main point, is this. You guys, as middle schoolers, might be the only story that somebody will hear to know about Christ. And so as we're in John, we're going to go through the 33 verses, but we're going to first read verses 1 through 7. And it says this. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned this man or his parents that he has been born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So we see that. These are some great verses. And what I kind of want to, and you guys might be like, well, what were his disciples asking when he said, when they're talking about Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, his mother or the man? You see, back in those times, they believed that if you were blind, it was because someone in your family had sinned or you had sinned, and this was an act of punishment. But Jesus is kind of giving them some theology and saying, hey, it's not either of them. It's not because his parents sinned. This wasn't a punishment of sin. And so just kind of give you guys just kind of just me summarizing this. So Jesus is pretty much walking. They're walking along with the disciples and he sees a blind man. Now we're not talking about this guy had just became blind. This guy had been born blind. He had been blind forever. And then Jesus walks over to the guy. Pretty much, it says he makes mud. He just straight up, you know, mountain man, Jesus, like, just makes it all cool. Like, I wish I could do that. You know? How many guys wish they could, you know, just spit on the ground and make mud? It's fun, right? Yeah. Let's get excited about that. So Jesus does this. He makes mud on the ground, rubs it in his eyes, and tells him to go and wash in a nearby pool. The guy, therefore, does this, and he can see. This is an awesome, awesome miracle. Jesus straight up just grabs mud, washes it on, puts it on the guy's eyes. The guy does what Jesus asked, and he's healed. He begins to see. And so how does this relate to us? How does this kind of blind guy relate to me and you? Well, the fact is, many of us here today in this room, you middle schoolers, us adults, we're spiritually blind. What I mean by that is, we didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We were walking around spiritually blind. To give us examples of this, we were living our lives for the temporary things around us. Y'all, I'm a huge, hardcore Florida Gator fan. I know, you guys are like, because I lived in Florida for a little bit. Jared, you guys probably, is a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. There we go. And so for us guys, sometimes living lives is putting football above God. That's just an example. Or for you girls, it's sometimes putting shopping before God. Or, I don't know, volleyball before God. I don't know what it's like to be a girl, but something before God. That's living spiritually blind. You know, we were putting 2 feet in front of us and we were blind to the danger lurking around us to the corner. You see, students, when we don't put God first in our lives, it's very easy for Satan to tempt us with those things. When he knows that we're not willing to put God number one of our lives, it's so easy for Satan to tempt us. And many of us were pursuing our own way rather than God's way. But then something happened. We met Jesus. And just like this guy, man, he was just walking around blind. But then something happened in his life. He met Jesus. And for some of us who have a relationship with him, we can see. We can now see spiritually. But for some of us in this room tonight, we have not yet experienced it. But that's okay. And saying that, Jesus wants to give you life. He wants to make you see. And to see what? To see what? What do we see when we come into accepting Him as our personal Lord and Savior? A relationship with Him. It's so amazing, students, when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You get to enjoy all those things that are important to you in your life, but you're putting God first. And all those things kind of change. You use that for God's glory. You use your passions for God's glory. So the first thing that we learn from the blind man is we need to, first of all, allow God to change you. Many of us have a story just like the blind man. I was blind, then I met Jesus, and now I see. So students, God wants to change us. He doesn't want us to walk in darkness. He wants us to walk in the light. And to give us an example of this, 1 Peter 2:9, you can write that down. I'm just going to read it for us real quick. It says this. Let me get there. All right. 1 Peter 2:9. My paperclip's in the way, sorry. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of our temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And then especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of a cleanses and despite authority. So you see, students, God wants us to walk in light and not in darkness. So the first thing that we see is that this blind man was willing to do what Jesus said. I'm pretty sure it would have been weird for you guys if you were blind for some guy just to rub mud on your face and tell you to go in. But he knew who Jesus was. He understood that this man was powerful and could do these things, and he went and did them. Students, my challenge for you tonight is allow God to change you. And just like my first point, the reason is that is so you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but also this is that you in those seats tonight might be the only story your friends, your parents, your peers will hear about Jesus Christ. And like I said, when me and Jared were in high schools, we were two completely different people and the people that we hung out with. We kind of knew each other. We kind of hung out every once in a while. But Jared hung out in a different crowd, and I did too. See, and the importance of that is that we're all different. God has given us abilities to be in these certain groups so we can reach out to them, so they can hear about Christ. And so you, students, might be the only story your friends, your parents may hear. So we're going to continue on and read verses 8 through 10. It says, therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, it is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? So pretty much, like I said, the blind man had lived his entire life blind. So the people around him knew that he was blind. And so when Jesus healed him miraculously, people noticed. You know, maybe, which would have been, imagine, I mean, I don't know if you guys ever experienced someone who can't see or is blind. But just put yourself in these people's perspective that you knew someone was blind their whole life, and then you show up to school the next day, and they're, hey, have you seen that tree? And you're like, dude, you were blind. So imagine these people, this guy's coming, he's like, hey, look at this tree, or wow, a blue sky, a donkey. Whatever he was doing, people noticed something different about the man who was blind. Which brings us to the second point tonight. Is that allow others to see your changed life. Do your friends notice a difference about you? That's a huge question we all have to ask ourselves. If we have a relationship with Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, do your friends see it? Or are you willing to let your friends see it? Because I know as a middle schooler, it's probably hard to live like that. If you guys have accepted Jesus Christ, it's hard to be a middle schooler. It's a lot different from when I was in school, in middle school. We didn't have cell phones. I think I had a pager. I think. I'm not sure. And then my mom had those one of those big, huge gray phones. You guys remember those? You guys probably don't. You probably aren't even alive. So don't say you do. Don't lie in church. But those huge ones. My mom had a car phone. You remember car phones? No, you don't. Do you remember car phones, Jen? You don't remember car phones, man? Those things were cool. My mom had an old Volvo with a car phone. I thought she was the coolest thing in the world. But I know it's different nowadays when I was in mid school, but it's the same thing. Do your friends see a difference in you? So when I want you guys to all ask yourselves this question. When your friends look at you, when you walk into school, wherever you're at, when you're at the movie theater, when you're at the football game, when you're at the video arcade, I don't know if you guys go there anymore, but we did. When you're at the skate park, wherever you're at, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, where's the difference? What do they see? Do they notice what Jesus has done in your life? Do they see that you're different? Do they have the reaction that I did after I met Jared? They're like, man, there is a change in this person because of Jesus. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen this movie, but it's really cool and you guys should go check it out. It's called To Save a Life. Has anybody ever seen this movie? Yeah. So you guys know the kind of story of these two friends grew up. I don't remember the main character's name. But at one point, the kid saves him. He hurts his leg, right? And then one guy becomes popular because he plays basketball and is all cool. And he gets invited to all the cool parties. And the other guy kind of gets pushed to the wayside. And they go through high school. And then one day, that one that got pushed aside is tired of it. And he ends up killing himself in school. And his old friend realized he felt like he could do something about it. He felt like he should have done something about it. And so he begins to get mentored by a youth pastor. And the youth pastor gets real with him and goes, you know, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, what's changing in your life? And as a student sat through a youth group just like this, he saw people in a school who were so fake that had a relationship. They said they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Even the pastor's own son, who should have been having a relationship with Jesus Christ, just completely being a jerk and framing people and things like this. But we see that this kid understood what it really was like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He ended up reaching out to somebody who was hurting. And y'all are in middle school. And I hear the news. I know that you guys are going through things. Or you guys know of people who are going through things. How important are those people to you? Are you just willing to let them go through what they're going through without any help? Because students understand something so big right now is that the God that we're talking about in this Bible is a huge God. Is an almighty God, is a powerful God. He was able to take a man that was blind and make him see. I don't know about you guys, I can't do that. God can. So God can take whatever you're going through or whatever your friends are going through and use you to help them. Use you to change what they're going through. So can your friends tell the difference in you if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you guys a little secret. Words are cheap. Words are very cheap. You guys can come up here and, like I said, you can come up here and make, you know, Jared and your leaders think you guys have a relationship with Jesus Christ by saying the right things. But if you're walking into your school, into your home, outside of school, wherever you may be, and you're not practicing a relationship with Jesus Christ and you say you have one, you're just like me when I was in middle school and high school. There was no effect. If anything, I was causing more people to not even like Christians because of the things that I was doing. And I can remember one specific time in high school, I knew this guy who said, hey, I've read the Bible back and forth. I've read all the Bible. But I would watch him and I'd see the things that he was doing. Things treating women in a specific way. Doing things that didn't glorify God. Disrespecting his parents. Students, it doesn't matter if you read this book. Because guess what, guys? And I'm pretty sure you guys have heard this before. And even demons believe in the Word of God and shudder. They believe in this. They believe in God. They believe He's all-powerful. They believe He's mighty. But students, if you're just reading it and not putting it into practice, words are cheap. Most of your friends really don't care that you might preach to them. You might tell them, man, I go to church. Oh, you're all spiritual. You're all cool. They hear it all the time. But man, if you're willing to care about somebody and live a life that is dedicated to Christ, they'll see the change in your life. They pay very, very close attention to it. So here's a story that I found. Do you guys know what Puritans are? All right, Mr. Smarty, I'm just kidding. What's your name?
Jacob.
Jacob, what's a Puritan? All right, I'll give you 100%. Dude, you aced my test. All right, good job. Jared, you got his prize? Where are you? I'm just kidding, you don't get one. Sorry. And so we're looking at the story of a Puritan and an Indian. A long time ago, a Puritan was talking to an American Indian chief. This Puritan had spent weeks talking with the Indian, telling him about Jesus and how anyone could have a relationship with Him. And that's what we hear all the time. And that is so important. That is a great message about who Jesus is and that anyone could come to a relationship with Him. But the wise Indian chief said this. He listened to him and was actually very interested in the stories the great man had given and about Jesus who gave His life for so many. As the Puritan spent more time with the Indian chief, he asked the chief, "Why don't you pray and give your life to Jesus?" The Indian chief was silent for a while. He puffed his large pipe. Then taking the pipe from his mouth, he finally spoke. "I like what white man has to say about Jesus. Jesus sounds like honorable man. Giving life to Jesus sounds like good decision to make. But Indian chief wants to wait. He will watch the white man for a while and observe his people who claim to have Jesus in life. He will watch and see if that is how he wants his people to live." Man, we're so like that Puritan. We just want things to happen like that. But I want you guys to understand is that I encourage you to tell people about Jesus Christ. We should be doing it. But understand that it does not stop there. That your lives have to match what you preach because people are watching. What do people see if they watch you? Would they want that life? Would they want a life of a Christian? Man, I don't know about y'all guys, but I love having a relationship with Jesus Christ. I love being able to go to a movie theater or do these things, and when there's an opportunity, share the gospel. I love, you know, playing basketball, even though I'm not good. Jared's way better than I am. I stink. I haven't been good at sports in a while. But it is cool when you guys, I don't know, and just to give you guys, when you guys are doing this stuff or when I'm doing this stuff, and there's a break, to share the gospel. To talk to people about Jesus Christ. And it was cool. Like I said, I just got married less than a month ago, and we were at my bachelor party, which was at Hinkle. How many guys like Hinkle? And we were paintballing, straight up. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You know, going at it, guys. We think we're all cool. You know, hiding behind the bunkers, getting up, hitting each other. I shot my own teammate in the back, though, on accident. You know, when you guys do paintball, do you guys know you're supposed to go up the field? He was running diagonal, and I thought he was on the other side, so I shot him in the back. It was funny. But what was really cool, and wait, let me go back. Hold on one second. Okay, I had been in school with these guys for about 9 months. And so we had always been, man, it was just fun shooting them. Don't you just love that? Paintball. You're just able to shoot people, and you're not killing them. It's awesome. It's really cool. But what I want to point out is, it was on a Friday night, and I guess there was football, and we were the only ones there except for this one guy. And we told him what we were doing. We were here for my bachelor party, and We needed one more guy, and he ended up playing with us. And so every time, you know, when you get done at Hinkle, after you're done with the game, everybody has to go out. And every time we went out, we just began to share Christ with this kid. He just moved from Denver, him and his wife. They were going through a hard time. See, even in the midst of us straight up being crazy, jumping over the thing, shooting at each other, being just like, he was really good, like he shot me in the face like 8 times, like he was really good. But just being like him, we used that as a gateway to share Christ, man. At a bachelor party. And we have a perspective of bachelor parties, don't we? We've seen movies and they make it look all, it's all cool. But we had fun being Christians at a bachelor party playing paintball, and we were able to share Christ. Students, it's possible. Do you think that guy was like, you know what? Man, those guys love Christ. They do what I'm doing and they have a passion for Jesus. Same thing can apply to you guys, whatever you're into. Would your friends want the life that you're living? Let me remind you, you might be the only story that somebody may know about Christ. So let's continue on, verses 10 through 27. Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes open?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." Now here comes the bummer people. The Pharisees, that's who I'm talking about. So they brought the blind man who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and washed and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. Then they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him because he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight, and they asked him, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." Oh, let's continue on through 27. Sorry. His parents said these things because they were feared for the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So then again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He has answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that enough. I was blind, now I see." Then he said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. What do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" So here, pretty much, this is funny to me. These people continue to ask the blind man what happens. And this is an encouragement to you guys, because people are going to want to know when you accept Jesus and you begin they see this life change, people are going to ask you what happened. And there wasn't this huge, he didn't stand up at the pulpit and give this theological story. You know, he didn't give the history of Jesus. He just tells, he knows what he knows. "I was blind, but then I met Jesus and now I see." That's awesome. That's the gospel message. That once you guys were spiritually blind, I was spiritually blind, but Christ came into my life and now I see. It is so simple, but we see that people are not satisfied with it. Just like these Pharisees, they weren't satisfied. And the people weren't satisfied. The religious snobs, they were not satisfied. And what I love, as I think this relates to you middle schoolers the most, because even though y'all might be young, your voice is powerful. Your actions are powerful. You are the next generation. And people might not give you credit, but don't let that discourage you. Do you see that even though the blind man told him the truth, they went to his parents? Don't let the religious snobs who don't think you guys are capable of anything hold you back. Stand up for Christ. Do it respectfully, but stand up that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ to those who are hurting, to those who are suffering, to those who need to hear Jesus. And so, again, man, people won't be satisfied, but continue to preach the gospel. And what I love is what I think, probably, what, you know, if it happened now, I'm pretty sure the blind man was like, oh my gosh, quit asking me. Probably was like, are you guys deaf? You guys get it? Come on. All right, never mind. But, you know, I'm pretty sure he was tired of it. He was tired of them asking. And the encouragement I give to you guys, and to show you're capable, is really the blind man hadn't gone to Bible school. He hadn't been under teaching for a long time. He didn't have all the answers, but he knew one thing, and that was his story. He knew what Jesus had done in his life. He knew Jesus had changed it, and he knew what his life was like now. This brings us to our final point. Always be prepared to tell your story. Like I said, this blind man hadn't gone to Bible college. He didn't have all the answers, but he knew his story. He knew what his life was like before Christ, and he knew that Jesus had changed it. And he knew what his life was like now. Don't feel like you guys aren't equipped. You guys have a story. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, your life was one way, and now it's changed, don't feel like you're unequipped to do so. You guys, and I tell this to all my students, is that you guys have a greater mission field that me or Jared or Jesse could ever walk into. You're friends. They're more likely to listen to you than a guy with a beard and a mic. All right? Because you guys relate to them. You're their age. So students, share your story. Share what Christ has done for you. Be excited about it. Man, if you guys hear something awesome, whether it's Wednesday night or Saturday or Sunday, share it. Share what Christ is doing in your life. Be willing to tell what God is doing in your life. Don't hide it. You know, this blind man cannot answer all the theological questions. We see that in this passage. He really didn't know why. He didn't really know how Jesus was able to do these things. He couldn't answer those theological questions. But, like I said, he knew his story of a changed life. And what I wanted to bring out to you guys is this. As some people who have all the theological answers, those who think they're all high and mighty in the religious people, they might have those theological answers, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They might just have these answers to make themselves look good, to make themselves look like they do, but they don't. And you guys can tell it too. You guys are very smart. You can tell those who say they have a relationship with Christ and don't. Don't be fake. Don't be fake about it. And just one cool passage that I want to read you guys out of 1 Peter 3:15. You can write it down and I'll read it for you guys. It says this. Oh, that's why. There we go. All right. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear. I'm going to read that one more time because it is so powerful. I love this passage. One more time. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Man, that is such a cool verse. Understand this, students, is that y'all's peers, your generation, there is some of them have no hope. Some of them are choosing to do things to their body or choosing to disrespect their parents or choosing not to put God first. My challenge for you guys is this. How much do you have to not like someone to tell them about Christ? You all have the answer. We see tonight the power of a huge God. Of a God who is able to do something that no one could, and that is wash away our sins. Students, you either can do this. You can treat God as a puny God, as a small one, or one that is huge and all-powerful and mighty. So who is your God? Is he a big God or a little God? So to wrap everything up, remember this. You are the only story that somebody may know about Christ. Allow God to change you. And some of us in this room have already done that. Some of us tonight may need to make that step. So we can have that hope that I talked about, that this blind man received, a hope in Jesus Christ. Because without that, we cannot be healed. We cannot be healed of our brokenness. Allow others to see your changed life. For those who have a relationship with Christ, allow others to see that. When God changes us, do others notice? Always be prepared to tell your story. God has given us an incredible hope in Jesus Christ. When others see this hope, we need to be ready to explain it. As I read that last passage, man, if people are asking, be ready to explain it. It might be one or two people, but y'all, man, when one person comes to know Jesus Christ, the heavens rejoice. So where are you at tonight, students? Are you willing to allow God to change you this evening? Are you willing to realize that you need a change? That you were just like this blind man, that you were spiritually blind. That you were putting other things before God. You were not putting Him number one in your life. You were not accepting Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Ready to change you, ready to heal you from your brokenness. Or students, are you in here tonight with that relationship with Jesus Christ? But nothing's changed. People can't see it. Your parents can't see it. And I know that sometimes it's hard to have a relationship with your parents. But those are the ones that should see it. Your parents and your friends. Can your parents tell that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you willing to obey them when it's really, really hard? Do your parents, do your friends see that change in your life? And if that's you, if you're like, yeah, you know what, Shay, that is me. Are you prepared to tell your story? So tonight, understanding that, I want to give you an opportunity. In a second, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray. And we're going to get real. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you are spiritually in the aspect of being blind, you're putting other things before Christ, you have never accepted Him, I want to give you the opportunity tonight. And also, if you're a student in here and you have accepted Jesus Christ, and you really haven't gotten real, people can't tell, you're not walking with Christ. And you just need prayer for yourself. Look, we all need that. I want to give you that opportunity too. So let's pray. Father God, you are an amazing, amazing God. That you chose to give your Son freely to us, Father, knowing that we can't get rid of sin, Father, that we have this sinful nature, God, that it breaks our relationship with you. And seeing that and having a heart for us and being a huge God, you sent your Son to die on a cross for us. And only you can accomplish that through his blood, Father, the ultimate payment for our sins. And God, and through that you gave us a beautiful hope. Father, knowing that we did not depend on ourselves, God, but we are to depend on you. You are our solid foundation. You are our rock. And for us in this room, that it might be scary, God, to stand up for you. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move in our lives, God, to the point where we're not afraid. We're not afraid to step up for you, God. We're not afraid to show you in our lives, God. But the only thing that we are afraid of is you. God, and knowing that you've put a call on our life, Father. And if we're not accepting that, if we're not pursuing that, we're disobeying you. And the fear of you, God, being a loving, compassionate God, would move inside of us, God, to do the things that you've called us to do, even as middle schoolers, Father. God, I would also just specifically pray for tonight for those